Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got me, Diamond Hands D, and you got Tony, and you got Luke. How you doing, boys?
Good. How you doing?
How you doing? It's your birthday, man.
It is my birthday.
Woo! And what did your daughter say to you this morning?
So she asked my wife how, you know, what age I was turning, and she said, you know, 42. And then Ella looks at my wife and says, is that the last number ever?
I just love how brutally honest kids are.
Yep. They have no idea. That's pretty funny.
No filter whatsoever.
No. No.
All right.
So, yeah, big birthday today. So we got a big birthday show for everyone out there. We got Elon Musk, as usual. We talk about that guy every week. But basically saying work in the office or work somewhere else. So we'll talk about that. Salesforce.com, you know, a company Mark and I talked a lot about the last couple of years. We'll talk about their earnings and what that means for the economy and that company. And then we'll talk a little bit about automation. Looks like robot orders surged 40% as companies face, you know, labor shortages, inflation, all that good stuff.
I'm telling you, Terminator is going to come true. Robots are going to take over one day.
It absolutely is, yeah. Right. I know one of those robot dogs has taken me out in like 15 years.
Oh, for sure.
And I think I might have a I don't want to call it a stock tip because all these companies that aren't making money right now are just getting their teeth kicked in. But I do have a company, small company, that deals with AI manufacturing. So
all right,
we're gonna have to wait for the end for that one. We have to keep everyone tuned in for that.
Nice teaser, I love it.
Yep. All right. I'm gonna start off. Elon Musk. All right. So I'll just be honest. I don't know how much I really just have never really been a fan because I just think he was so all over the place. I am now maybe Elon's biggest fanboy. Like, honestly, like, over the last couple of weeks and the things that he's said and done, you know, between Twitter and things like that, like, I'm digging him. I'm digging what he's saying. And I think this latest one is great. It's, he had an article I saw it in Bloomberg, get back to the office. Like, stop working from home. If you want to work from home, go find somebody else who will hire you and work from home. But like, I want you in the office.
Yeah, he said everyone in there has to be at least 40 hours. Then they can choose to work from home. But everyone has to work in the office at least. And that's highlighted, capital letters, quotation marks, at least 40 hours a week in the office.
Minimum 40 hours a week. Imagine, like, it just blows my mind. Like, he had to come out and say that. I mean, we've said, like, 40 is the minimum.
Yeah.
Like, and then if you're throwing the minimum, I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
It's, again, comes back to productivity. And we saw, I think, last month, the lowest productivity reading ever in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, that also comes down to the fact that technology is such a big part of our environment and our world now that, you know, these technology jobs and a lot of these jobs at Tesla, they're the programmers that are coding, doing that kind of stuff. But a lot of those people I've talked to, they're working like 4 hours a day for really? 5 days a week because they're working from home. They can get their job done in 4 hours. But the question you need to ask yourself is, what's the problem? What is the problem there if you can get your job done in 4 hours? Is it that you're good at your job or is that you don't have enough work to do?
Probably a little both in my opinion.
Yeah.
but yeah, you know, like what working from home really does and why, and again, Mark and I have been talking about this for a while too. It just affords you so many more chances for distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in the office, yeah, you can pop by someone's office and, you know, chat them up for a few minutes, but you're not going to do any laundry. You're not going to run any errands. You know, you're not going to take the dog for a walk. You know, your choices are kind of work or just sit there and stare off into the distance.
Yeah. I don't know. Like working from home, like, so when COVID hit and everyone was staying home, like we came back to work almost immediately. But
yeah.
I mean, there's the camaraderie, there's the social aspect that I like, just getting out of the house and moving around. But it's like idea share, you know, like collaboration on how to make your business better, how to be more efficient, how to do things that are related to your business. When you're sitting in your basement staring at your computer, like You got you and your own ideas, and maybe you got a dog or something, and he ain't giving you no ideas.
And every job is different, but when business comes down to it, business is about people. It's about who you're around. Someone's buying your product, someone you're trying to sell to, whatever that be. Every business is based around that, right? So when you're not around people, first of all, your social skills are just diminishing because you're just not around people, you know, around the office, whatever it be. And then how can you fully, truly do your job the best way possible, especially if you have some sort of sales job or something like that, to where if you're not talking with people directly face to face? I mean, I get Zoom like filled a lot of those voids and things like that, but I'll tell you what, going out to some of these live events, I was just at the Indy 500, like people are getting out, people are talking, want to socialize, want to be around other people. Right? Like that's where business is made. It's not made in down in your basement on a computer.
Yeah, looking at a Zoom. You know, I can appreciate Zoom. Helps make things just a little bit more efficient, drive time, things like that, or, you know, long distance relationships, business relationships, things like that. But, you know, the old face-to-face, man, that's where you pick up the mannerisms, the body mannerisms of, you know, where you are in a process of good ideas, bad ideas. Like, you know, I'll
be honest, like, so when COVID hit, right in early, what was that, 2020, right? March of 2020, I had a studio apartment downtown Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girlfriend at the time. We stayed with each other. And we had a studio apartment to ourselves, both working from home because we worked from home for about a week, 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks where we worked from home.
Right.
And basically because I got COVID too. I especially had to work from home. But I'll tell you
how many times have you had COVID?
At least three. At least three, and then once was after vaccination. But anyway. I was working from home in a studio apartment with my girlfriend. I mean, that's how people do it. There's no way you're productive working with two people in a studio apartment. I remember, actually, real quick story. I was on – this is when I started doing some media stuff, and I was on a call with NBC News – In my bathroom, we were cleaning it. It was soaked in bleach. And my bathroom was the tiniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I was like suffocating, choking in the bathroom doing this interview with NBC. That's what I remember about COVID when it first started.
Yeah. But just the fact, you know, getting back to the story with Elon, like the fact that he's saying get back to work and 40 hours is the minimum. Like, I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm a new fanboy. So. All right, Salesforce earnings. You know what is it saying about, you know, the environment for work out there right now? I got my opinions, but I'll let you guys go at it.
I think this comes back down to productivity, like CRMs, you know, client relationship managers, HubSpot. These softwares and these businesses that make businesses more efficient are so important in today's world, especially because of the thing we just talked about. People aren't as productive, so they have to rely on technology to be productive, right? So Salesforce was a perfect example of that. They crushed their earnings because the last thing you ever get rid of if you need productivity is your client relationship manager, your CRM.
Right. And I mean, the one thing is a business, CRM is your electronic Rolodex, right? It just lets you know who your clients are, your prospects are, and be able to take notes. And it's one of those tools that it's the last thing you get rid of, really. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can maybe go and find a cheaper CRM system. But I'll tell you what, if you dialed in Salesforce, you spent tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars allocating it towards your specific company and your niche and your marketing funnels. Like, you just don't shut off Salesforce. It's too expensive to ramp it up and to maintain it. You just don't shut it off and go somewhere else. That's the one thing. Salesforce will always be around because of those things I just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. It is one of the most important tools a business has. And with increasing wages, increasing prices on everything, decreased productivity, companies are going to find ways to be more productive, right? That it's easy to identify the problems.
They have to.
And in order to survive, everyone's going to need to adapt. And being more efficient with everyone's time is the number one way to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, sharing is caring, right? And if you can take enough notes and be an active listener for your clients or your prospects, and you are diligent on writing those notes down in your CRM, like, you just come off more human.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a robot. and that you care and that you're listening. And those are important qualities in business that I think a lot of people are getting away from. And, you know, that's why I always say, you know, like after a meeting, spend the next 5-10 minutes taking notes. I know that we used to do something where I would just talk into a microphone. It would transcribe it. I copy and paste and throw it in the CRM, you know. Right. And so I'll say it again. Sharing is caring, basically. You know, like have your, you know, the people that your prospects, your clients, let them know that you care a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what a CRM to me is. And it also helps with marketing, right?
It does. And the key there, again, goes back to what we talked about with the first topic with human capital and people working from home. It makes things cheaper for the company. Yeah, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, on this software, CRM, something that, you know, makes you more efficient, but you're also saving money probably in your human capital department because you don't need to hire human capital that did the same thing the CRMs did.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in this environment where you know, human capital is expensive.
Yeah. Well, even office space is expensive. And if I can store all those files electronically rather than in a physical filing cabinet, like, I can cut down 100 to 300 square feet, you know, and office space is $30 to $50 a square foot. Like, that's a lot of money.
I think this speaks volumes about the environment we're in now, though, because, you know, we talked about why people aren't going to get rid of their, or businesses aren't going to get rid of their CRMs and the software. When we talk about from an investment standpoint, what we want to own in this kind of environment. So people think, you know, there's sectors out there, technology, healthcare, industrials, materials, consumer discretionary. Like, there's all these sectors out there, but there's so many subsectors of these sectors, like technology. There's not just technology stocks. There's software. There's semiconductors. There's cloud. There's all kinds of subsectors. In this environment, technology isn't necessarily a bad place to be. It's maybe more defensive within tech, and I would consider something like CRM defensive tech, right? Because companies aren't getting rid of it. They need it, especially when we're entering recessionary scenarios. And this is more important than ever. So it's just, this is an example of, you know, a place where you can look to park your money while taking on a little bit of a risk and try to hedge against this crazy inflation.
And that really goes back to, you know, the people in charge. You know, Elon Musk is an extreme example. He's the richest person on the planet. But basically every business owner, every senior management team, they want that. That is their number one goal. They want to be efficient. They don't want to hire that extra person if they're going to only be busy, you know, 40, 50, 60% of their time. And the rest of the time, they're figuring out something else to do with them.
Yeah.
They hate that. And that's why, you know, when everyone said this work from home is going to be permanent, I said from the very beginning, there is no way business owners can handle that. Zero chance that is going to be long term because they just can't handle it. You know, if you're not in the office, they don't think you're working.
Sure.
That is the bottom line.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Let's just assume you got a company with like 5,000 employees, right? And let's say 2,000 of those employees are only being productive half the time. So 40-hour work week, you're only being productive the other 20. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is you're going to see layoffs like we talked about before. But on the other side, you're going to see people get pay raises because what's going to happen is they will lay off, let's say out of the 5,000, they will lay off 2,000 of those workers and fire those people that aren't productive and then pay the other 3,000 instead of paying them double. They won't pay them double. They'll pay maybe 25% higher or 50% higher, right? Mm-hmm. And do the jobs of the other 2,000 people. They'll say, okay, you're working more, but we'll pay you more, right? Mm-hmm. That will save the company more.
You would hope it works that way.
Well, you know, in a perfect world, yeah. Right? But
all right. So CRM's important. It's, you know, the backbone of many companies and, you know, and it's not going anywhere. Let's just put it that way, right?
So, yeah.
All right. And then the other topic was U.S. robot orders skyrocket as employers combat labor shortages.
Terminator.
So, yeah.
Skynet.
You know, right in this article, you know, there's Boston Dynamics spot. And if you haven't seen this robot dog, it is completely terrifying, especially, you know, if you're a fan of the Terminator franchise, like I am, like, you, there's pretty much no doubt in your mind that these dogs are eventually going to turn on us all.
My favorite's when, like, a human's pushing the robot.
Oh,
like,
no,
keeps on pushing.
Not, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the robot, like, doesn't it do anything? And then eventually, it's like a joke, but I think they added, like, something to it, and the robot like attacked back. Yeah. I don't think that was real, but anyway,
CGI.
Yeah.
All right, so. I mean, if nobody wants to work, you know, these companies will get fed up. They will do a one-time capital injection into their company and lay out AI, you know, robotic, you know, artificial intelligent robots that are going to sit there and do somebody's job, probably do five people's job at once. I mean, if think about like one thing that comes to mind is like how they paint cars.
Yeah.
Like people don't paint cars anymore. Robots do. Like how many jobs did that eliminate right there? Yeah. And that's just technology. So I think there's a good – if we're going to be lazy, this deserves to happen.
Yeah.
To be honest. However, on the other side of it, though, I think it maybe in the form of another pandemic, maybe it protects us a little bit. Because if we can't go to work and they're not letting us in these buildings to do jobs and things like that, if there's a robot that we can just – one person goes in, turns on the robots, and it – keeps the supply chain moving, then maybe there's something behind that. But it is eliminating jobs, but nobody wants to work anyway. I don't know where anyone went. Like, if we can't find people to work, I don't know where
anyone went. Society, it's not sustainable. Like, if we move towards an environment where, you know, we use robots, technology to do everything, this is where the whole talk about the middle class dividing, like, this is where this stuff comes true. Yeah. Like, it's happening. It's continuing to happen. And we might see the middle class be completely non-existent here in the maybe next 20 to 30 years. I mean, that's completely a possible
scenario.
You're
either running or developing robots or you're not.
Right.
And you're rich or you're poor. I don't know. I mean, very extreme, but...
The problem with that, though, is so if we eliminate the middle class, we'd have to move more towards some sort of socialistic society. I mean, people have to get money somewhere, have to, you know, get their capital. As long as productivity remains the same, the capital will be out there to give to somebody, right? The problem is what do we see all the time when it comes to retirees? We always say the saying that you spend the most money when?
First 5 years of retirement?
On the weekends.
Oh.
On the weekends.
That too.
Right? In your retirement, what's the, you know, every day?
Day is a weekend.
It's a weekend. Okay. So you're spending the most amount of money. So what's going to happen if we move towards this some sort of society? I'm just kind of going to throw this out there because I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But in this society where the middle class becomes non-existent, you know, those that are living off of the government, living off of whatever the society is producing, they will want to spend more money and try to get more than what they are able to get. And that's not good. That's the greed, the human greed nature in all of us. Like we always want more. We always want to acquire more. Like that's just how people are.
Yeah.
And that's
do it for less.
What's going to happen in that environment? We could see some sort of like revolt almost in that kind of – because they're always going to want more, right? Everyone wants more. And that's why that society doesn't work out.
Yeah. The robot thing, that made sense to me a year ago. Yeah. So in the year of – picking any stock and watching it go up, especially if they didn't make any money, was the perfect year of, like, you know, IPOs and what are they called? SPACs, right? So one of the SPACs that I followed early was a company called Berkshire Grey, BGRY or something like that. And it IPO'd for like $10. I think it's $2.50 today, but this is exactly what they do. And they actually make money. But Berkshire Grey is AI robotics, you know, taking a manufacturing company and creating the robots to eliminate human jobs.
Yeah.
And again, if we're not going to go out and work and we don't want to do that, you know, this is what's going to happen and it's going to become more mainstream. I don't know how at the end of the day, I'm thinking like, you know, how does a robot flip a hamburger and stuff? But I mean, but some
it
of this
happens.
I know it
I was just at McDonald's like, you know, Monday and I walked in because I usually go through the drive-thru. So I don't really see all the workers and everything like that. But I walked in on McDonald's because the drive-thru was so long. Wait was so long. I saw two workers. That's all that was working.
Result, really.
Two workers at McDonald's. That's all it takes because you got the kiosk taking the orders. No one was taking orders. The two workers were the people delivering the food to the drive-thru. And there was one in the back that was making the food.
I mean, when I worked at McDonald's, it was like I was like in high school. I wanted extra money.
Yeah.
Like – kids not want extra money these days? Like, I don't get it.
They
like,
don't.
What are they doing?
They're living off of their parents. They're spoiled.
Come on,
man. And they're spoiled. They're living off of their parents. People are living off of debt. People don't think they have to work.
Man, I just don't. I lifeguard and I worked at McDonald's.
I was cutting grass at 14, 15 years old.
I did that
old.
Too.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I
did all kinds of weird
stuff.
Well,
if you can lifeguard now, you might make more money.
Oh, that. Yeah. We got, all right. Let's hit them with that one. I saw the topic you guys came
Luke
up
will have
with.
To tell us about that one.
Just really quick. Let's hit the lifeguard story.
Well, I don't know too much about it. What I do know is that there's a couple lifeguards in Los Angeles that made $500,000.
Each?
One made $500,000, one was like $425,000.
The base pay was $150,000 and the overtime was $246,000.
Wow.
I'm going to become a lifeguard.
Based on your tan?
Yeah, there we go.
You're burnt, dude. Put some sunscreen on.
So just some life advice. If anybody goes to any outdoor event this summer, wear a hat and wear sunscreen. Yeah. I did not. I thought my Hungarian jeans would come out. I did not. All right, guys.
Again. You know, I know there were some Elon fanboys in this room. I'll join the club, man. I like it.
You're late to the game, man.
I am late to the game, but you know what? At least I'm in the game. Let's go.
That's right. Let's go.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us this week. If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas, hit us up at info@swpconnect.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.